shared this with you last week, but the will of God, as I see it, happens on two levels. First of all, there is God's universal will. Somebody say His universal will. God's universal will is the will of God for everybody. For people of all races and all places, I don't care who you are, who your mama is, where you're from, what you did, what you didn't do, it doesn't matter. This is the will of God for every human being, period. That is God's universal will. And I told you what that was last week. Number one is God's will for you to be saved. God never created a single human life that He did not want to be in heaven with Him. God, it is not the will of God for anybody to go to hell. And the Bible's very clear on that. It's God's will for everybody to be saved. Now, just because something is God's will doesn't mean it happens automatically. God gives us a choice in the matter. Yes, it is God's will and God's plan and God's purpose for you to be saved and go to heaven, but you have a right to choose to go to hell anyway.
I tell you what, it's going to be tough. I better keep on going this morning.
What is God's universal will? Number one is His will for everybody to be saved. Number two is God's will for everybody to be holy. It's God's will for you to be holy. Step one is to be saved. Step two is to be sanctified, to walk in holiness. Number three is God's will for everybody to be thankful. If you weren't here last week, get the CD. I believe it'll be an encouragement to you. We'll give it to you absolutely free on your way out today. But that's God's universal will. But then there's God's situational will. Okay, so I know that God wants me to be saved. I know He wants me to be holy. I know that He wants me to be thankful. But what do I do in this situation that I'm facing right now? What is God's will regarding this decision that I have to make? And this is not always easy to discern, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And then next week, we're going to talk about God's vocational will. I'm not talking about God wants you to go on vacation. I'm talking about a vocation, a job, a work. God has a kingdom purpose, a kingdom assignment for your life. And next week, I'm going to tell you how to know God's vocational will for your life, all right? Okay, well, let's look at God's situational will. God's situational will. Lord, what is Your will for me in this situation? And let me start by saying this. God's will is not nitpicky. Come on, look at somebody beside you. Just kind of pick at them a little bit and tell them, God's will is not nitpicky. I know that that sounds strange, but I want you to know this. It is not God's desire to micromanage every little minute detail of your life. I'm helping y'all this morning. Y'all might not be helping me back, but I'm helping you out anyway this morning. God wants to be glorified in every minute detail of your life, but God is not a micromanager. When you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed, you don't have to crawl out of bed and stand up and say, is it God's will for me to start walking with my left foot or my right foot? Right. Well, you know, in the Bible, the Benjaminites, they were mighty warriors and they were left-handed, and maybe I should walk with my left foot, but Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, and maybe I should just walk in Jesus' name. Some people worry and fret over every little detail of life. God's primary will for your life is His big picture will for your life. Don't sit here and stress, should I wear blue socks or should I wear red socks? Just put on socks and go do the will of God in Jesus' name. Some people get out of bed and they walk in the bathroom and they stand there and they get stressed out and say, is it God's will for me to use Colgate or Aquafresh? Just get out of my face with your stinky breath, go brush your teeth, and then go do the will of God. All right, so God's will is not nitpicky. You don't have to sit here and fast and pray, God, should I wear a blue shirt or a purple shirt today? Just put on a shirt and go out there. It doesn't matter what color shirt you wear. What matters is that you're doing the will of God in your life. Now, let me say this. We should be decent and modest in how we dress. If it's not for sale, don't put it on display. Listen, young lady, you are a child of God. You are a princess in God's kingdom. Don't be putting yourself on display and degrade yourself like the world. They can't see Jesus in your eyes if they're staring at your thighs. Let me just keep on moving. All right. I knew I was going to get in trouble today. Listen, God's will is not nitpicky, okay? But there are situations where you need to know the will of God. In your relationships, in your career, in your marriage, with your children, in the workplace. There are many situations in life where you need direction from God, and I want to help you find your way this morning. I'm going to give you very simple truths today, four truths. Number one, here's truth number one. Are you ready this morning? Ready or not, here we go. Number one, you cannot know God's will in the small things if you're not doing God's will in the big things. Let me say that again. You cannot know God's will in the small things if you're not obeying God's will in the big things. Let me give you an analogy this morning. Listen, if you know me, you know that I'm always hungry. If I wrote an autobiography, it would be titled, What's for Lunch? Because all I want to do in life, all I want out of life is just a supreme dinner from Bojangles with a Cajun filet biscuit and a Cajun filet club and a Bowberry biscuit and some cinnamon twist and a large sweet tea for an appetizer. Okay, I'm always hungry, and I remember when I was a little boy, one morning, Mama came to me and said, go clean your room. I said, yes, ma'am. 5 minutes later, I come up to her, and I'm pulling on her coattail and saying, Mama, what's for lunch? She looked at me, and she said, have you cleaned your room? I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, I tell you what. You go do what I told you to do, and then we'll talk about what you want to do. God, what's your will for my marriage? What's your will for my career? What's your will for my finances? Lord, what's your will in this situation? We're pulling on the coattail of God and saying, Lord, what's for lunch? Help me in this situation. Help me right now where I am. And I can't help but think that the Spirit of God is looking back to you saying, have you done what I told you to do? Do what I told you to do, and then we'll talk about what you need in this situation. Because you can't know God's will for your life in a situation if you're not performing His overall will for your life. Many times in life, we want to know God's will concerning things we want, but God is waiting for us to obey what He's already told us to do. So if you want to know what He wants, do what He says. Amen. All right, now I have to say this. Let me give you another disclaimer here. I'm here to help you this morning, I promise you. In fact, look at somebody and tell them He's here to help you. I'm not here to make, listen, I grew up in church, and listen, if it makes you grin, it's a sin. We would get in there, and people would just beat us with the Bible all day long. I had somebody tell me last Sunday after church, Pastor Josh, I feel like you just beat me upside the head with the Bible all day today. It is not my goal to beat you upside the head with the Bible. I'm here. It is my goal not to hurt you, not to condemn you, not to beat you down. I'm here to speak truth in your life so that God can turn your life around. Amen? I'm here to speak truth so you'll break free from a destructive lifestyle that you're living in. So I'm here to help you. Listen, God's will is for your life is good. God has great plans for you. God loves you, and He wants to do something wonderful with your life. But the only way to discover His plan is to obey what He tells you to do. Can I give you some examples this morning? Is that okay? All right. Maybe you're in a relationship, and you're wondering if you should get married. Now, again, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to help you. But you're saying, I wonder if she's the one. I wonder if he's the one. So you want to know if you should get married. Why would God tell you to get married if you're living in sin together? Oh, it got quiet.
I tell you what, I'm going to be working at Bojangles next week, I think. But listen, I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. If you want to know God's will for your relationship, you need to make sure that you're obeying God in that relationship. Because here's what I found. God doesn't bless a mess. Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Now, this sounds kind of harsh like the Old Testament, but this is New Testament right here. God is saying, I bless the marriage bed, and anything that is not the marriage bed is adultery or sexual immorality, and God will judge those who live that lifestyle. So if you're not living in obedience, make the decision today that you're going to live in obedience. Again, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you today. Listen, start making practical steps of obedience. Maybe you're living together. Well, that's step one. You say, but Pastor, I can't afford to live on my own. Listen, I'm just being real today. I'm helping you where you are, because there are a lot of people in this community that is exactly where they are. I can't afford to live right. I can't afford to move out and live on my own. Let me tell you what the Bible says, James 4:8. It says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. If you make your decision, if you are taking steps of obedience, the Bible says that God will not leave you hanging. If you start moving in his direction, he starts moving in your direction. Find a Christian roommate. Pray for more hours at work or get a better job. Make a budget and stick to it, amen? Take small steps towards obedience, and God will help you and bless you as you draw near to him. He draws near to you. If you want to know what he wants, you have to do what he says, amen? Maybe you need financial direction in your life. Why would God give you direction regarding your finances if you're not obeying him by tithing? I told you, I'm here to help you this morning. If you're struggling financially and you are not tithing, well, there's your answer. There's step one. Because God himself said repeatedly in the Bible, the tithe belongs to me. The Bible tells us over and over again, the tithe is the Lord's. If you want God's wisdom regarding your finances, make sure that you're putting your finances into obedience to God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Notice it says, trust in God first, then he'll show you which way to go. Trust in him first, then he'll direct your paths. It starts by you making a commitment to live in obedience to God. And when you make that decision, when you draw near to God, then God will come in and direct your path. Do you see the relationship there? But Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. Listen, start taking small steps towards obedience today. You say, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give. Can I say something controversial this morning that not a lot of pastors would agree with me? But I'm just going to tell you this morning. If you're giving God 0% of your income, next paycheck, why don't you give him 1% of your income? And then the month after that, why don't you give him 2% of your income? And then after that, give him 3% of your income. And then after that, give him 4% of your income. And then after that, give him 5%. And once you've learned how to live off of 95%, give God 6% of your income. And then give him 7. And then once you get to 7, you might as well go on to 10. I would rather, Pastor, is 3%, is that obeying God? No, but I would rather you start taking steps in that direction than to give me excuses the rest of your life and never live in obedience to God. You can agree or you can disagree, but I'll tell you what, God's ultimate goal is for you to be at 10%. Start taking small steps now and make up your mind, determine in your heart, by this date and by this time, I want to be in full obedience to God. Oh, let me keep on going this morning. Listen, let me give you this thought. You can make excuses or you can make progress, but you can't make both. See, a heart of obedience is the key to hearing His voice. Number one, you cannot know God's will in the small things if you're not obeying God's will in the big things. Number two, God's will is more about what He wants than about what you want. God's will is more about what He wants than it is about what you want. And I'm sorry if you wanted to leave here feeling good today, but I just have to break the news to you that it's not about you. When you belong to the kingdom, listen, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. This is not the Republic of Heaven where we voted Jesus on the throne and we're going to vote Him out of the throne. This is a kingdom. When you become a part of the kingdom of God, you become a subject of the King, which means that it's not about what you want anymore. Now listen, there's nothing spiritual about people being miserable. Okay, God's people ought to be the happiest people on earth. God wants you to be happy, but you need to understand that your happiness is not God's number one priority. Because there will be times in your life and in my life where He wants will be in direct opposition to what we want. Even Jesus had to pray that prayer, "Not my will, but yours be done." So if you're in a situation and you need to know God's will, ask yourself this question: who am I trying to make happy? Who am I trying to make happy here? Am I trying to please myself? Am I trying to please other people? Or am I trying to please God? In other words, whose agenda am I pushing in this decision that I'm making? Because Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." If you want to be successful, rather than pursuing your own purpose, hook up with God's purpose and you will prevail. Here's another question you can ask yourself. Is this drawing me closer to God or is this pushing me away? Come on, you got to be honest with yourself. There are some things that may not be bad, but they're not making you stronger as a Christian. Listen, if the devil can't tempt you with sin, he'll try to overload your schedule with distractions so that you might not be doing bad stuff. They might be good things. They might be okay, but they are distracting you from your God-given purpose. So you have to ask yourself, whose will am I trying to do in this situation? Am I trying to please myself or to please Him? Sometimes you have to say, "Okay, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done." There will be situations when God's priorities are opposed to your personal pleasure. Don't get me wrong, God wants to bless you. He loves to bless His children. God has blessed me and my wife beyond what we ever deserved, but we didn't get there by putting ourselves first. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you." That means that if you seek God first, if you pursue Him, God will take care of all this other stuff. Stop pursuing the blessings and start pursuing the one who has the power to bless you. Amen. Number one, you cannot know God's will in the small things if you're not obeying God in the big things. Number two, God's will is more about what He wants than what you want. Number three, God's will and God's word will always agree. When you're faced with a decision, find out what the Bible says about it. Listen, there is a vast wealth of wisdom in the Word of God. Some of you are struggling, trying to figure out what to do when there are verses in the Bible that plainly tell you what to do. Turn to the Word of God. Listen, there is a wealth of wisdom in here. Wisdom for parents, wisdom for children, wisdom for young adults, wisdom for grandparents, wisdom for husbands, wisdom for wives, wisdom for employees, and wisdom for employers. There is a lot of wisdom in this book. If you need financial wisdom, it's found in the Word of God. If you need wisdom about your health, it's found in the Word of God. If you need wisdom about education, it's found in the Word of God. If you need wisdom about your relationships, it's found in God's Word. The list goes on and on. God's will and His Word will always agree. And here's an easy one. If it goes against the Bible, guess what? Newsflash. It's not God's will. If it goes against the Bible, it's not God's will. That's easy enough. We can figure that out, right? Because His will and His word always agree. And listen, the answer to your question might not be spelled out directly in the Bible. You can't turn to the book of Hebrews and let it tell you where to go to college. But listen, the more you read and the more you study the word of God, the more you'll be able to recognize the voice of God when He speaks to you. If you are constantly reading the Word of God, it opens up your spirit to hear the voice of God in your life because His will and His Word are inseparable. Number one, you can't know God's will in the small things if you're not obeying God's will in the big things. Don't expect God to tell you which college to go to if you've made up your mind to get drunk your first night there. I forgot that one. I thought I'd just throw that out for free of charge this morning. Listen, you can't know God's will in the small things if you don't obey Him in the big things. I remember when I went to college. Listen, my parents dropped me off. They didn't even put the car in park. They opened the door and just kind of pushed with the foot and said, "We'll see you at Christmas time," okay? They dropped me off. And I go into my freshman dorm that neither has a restaurant nor air conditioning, so I knew that it could not be the will of God concerning me, okay? No, but I go into this dorm, and that first night we're there, all of the guys in my suite start bringing suitcases in. I'm not talking about luggage. I'm talking about a 24-pack, okay? They started, listen, I thought that I was living in the Budweiser distribution center. I had never seen so much alcohol in one place in my life. But it was easy for me because I had already made up my mind, I'm not going to touch that mess. You see, some of you, and this is just a prophetic word, some of you need to make up your mind now, ahead of time, I'm going to obey God. Because if you wait till you get in the heat of the moment, when you wait till you get in a situation and your emotions are high, you're probably not going to make the right decision. If you determine in your heart ahead of time, I will obey the word of the Lord, when the situation comes, it will be easy for you. And I had to just kind of laugh because I watched this probably the biggest bunch of idiots I'd ever seen in my life. I watched them drink till they passed out on the floor. I watched half of them flunk out in the first semester, and the other half barely got by the skin of their teeth because they had a headache so bad they couldn't go to class the next day. If you make up your mind ahead of time that you're going to obey God, it will save you from a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of pain. I better get back on track this morning. Number one, you can't know God's will in the small things if you're not obeying Him in the big things. Number two, God's will is more about what He wants than what you want. So who am I trying to please with this decision? Number three, God's will and His word always agree. And number four, this is just practical wisdom for you today. Number four, wait before you make a decision. Psalm 37 verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for Him." There's a lot of wisdom in that verse because I don't know about you, but I tend to want to act immediately. When the light turns green, I don't care if I'm 30 cars back, I want to be doing 30 miles an hour in 2 seconds. And that's human nature. We want to act immediately. We don't like to wait. But sometimes, listen, the saving is in the waiting. If you will learn how to just patiently wait for God, He will save you from a whole lot of trouble. And that's just my final word for you this morning. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. I think we get into trouble when we jump into something head first without weighing the situation. So don't rush it. I know we want to rush. I know we're in an instant culture. I know that we stand at the microwave tapping our foot, looking at our watch because we're in a hurry all the time. But listen, sometimes we need to stop and wait and take time to pray and to seek wisdom. Amen? Prayer should be the first thing we do, not the last thing we try. Well, I watched Oprah and I watched Dr. Phil, and I asked the guys at work what they thought, and I checked on Google, and I asked my phone what I ought to do, and nobody else gave me advice, so I guess I'll just pray. No, prayer should be the first thing we do, not the last thing that we try. So if you need the wisdom of God in a situation right now, I dare you this morning, take it to God in prayer. Take it to God in prayer. You're wondering God, what God's will is. Have you asked Him what His will is? Have you taken time to pray about it? You see, prayer is a two-way communication. Prayer is not just about talking. Prayer is also about listening. Prayer is more than saying, scrub-a-dub-dub, Lord, bless this grub, let's eat. Prayer is about taking time. Away from all the noise, away from all the distractions, away from all the drama, okay, away from all of that. Prayer is getting away and saying, okay, God, it's me and you right now. Where you talk to Him, but then you take time to listen. Because, listen, God still speaks, amen? Take time to pray. Take time to wait. I was recently in a situation where I had to make a decision. And I went to immediately jump in and make that decision, but the Holy Spirit said, wait. In fact, the Holy Spirit said, wait 5 days. And you know what I did? I said, okay, God, I'm not going to waste this waiting time. I'm going to take time to pray and seek You. I'm going to take time to seek godly counsel. And let me tell you something. My decision 5 days later was not what it would have been in the moment. Some of you are facing a decision and you need to take time to wait on God. Listen, if you have an important decision to make, sleep on it. There's a lot of wisdom in this. Somebody told me many years ago, never make a major decision in the afternoon. Why? Because you're tired. You've gone through the work day. You're not thinking clearly. When you need to make an important decision, sleep on it. Maybe you're facing a major decision in your life. I challenge you, wait at least a week. Stop and pray and take time to seek the Lord. Listen, standing here this morning in this congregation is the greatest privilege of my lifetime. I am doing what God has called me to do, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that you would allow me to be a part of this church. But let me tell you something. I had to wait on God 2 years. 2 years. Not 2 minutes, not 2 days, not 2 weeks, not 2 months. 2 blessed years I had to wait on God. My wife and I, we knew, we heard the voice of God, we heard the call of God. We said, okay, God, we're ready to go today. He said, but I'm not ready. I'm calling you not to go, but to wait on me. 2 years. And we would fast and we would pray. And every time, God said, not yet. But there's a big difference between no and not yet. Can somebody give me a witness this morning? Listen, for 2 years we would fast and pray and God would say, not yet, not yet, not yet. Keep waiting, keep waiting. And finally the day came and God said, okay, now is the time and go. And we've been going ever since. But listen, the more important it is, the more time you should take to wait on God. Don't rush into a major decision, amen? And here's something else. Don't make decisions by yourself. Take time to get advice. and not from your hairdresser, okay? I'm talking about take time to get advice from godly people, people with wisdom, church leaders, people that you respect because they're mature believers. Because the Bible says that there's safety in wise counsel. Some of you are here this morning and you've got a decision to make. Somebody's here and you've got to make the most important decision of your lifetime. You've heard the word of God today. You've heard what the will of God is for your life. Now is your time to make a decision. Are you going to follow Jesus? Will you give your life to Him? Listen, God wants you to be saved. He won't force His way on you. Here's what God will do. He'll bring you to the point where you have to make a decision. Last Sunday, I talked about those two young journalists who were murdered in Virginia. Listen, when they woke up that morning, they were young, they were healthy, everything was going great, their careers were right on target. They had no idea that that would be their last day on earth. Listen, you don't know how much time you have. Don't waste another day, because this might be your last opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Today is your day. Now is your time. This is the acceptable time. Right now, God has brought you to the place where you have to make that decision. Will you close your eyes this morning? Let's pray for just a moment. I want to ask every mature believer in this house if you'll begin praying for the lost in this moment, because somebody's here today and you need to make that decision. Make that decision to choose Jesus this morning. Listen, you haven't lived till you've given your life to Him. God said, I've given you the choice of death or life. Choose life. Choose life this morning. Choose Jesus this morning. Jesus died on the cross to save you and to give you eternal life. Choose Jesus this morning. Come to Him just the way you are. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus, is Jesus doesn't say you have to fill out an application. Jesus doesn't say you have to get your act together. He didn't say stop cussing and stop drinking and stop smoking weed before you come to me. Jesus said, come to me right now just the way you are, and I will receive you. I will love you. I will forgive you. I will wash your sins away. I'll make you into a new creation. Oh, Jesus is waiting this morning with arms stretched wide open, waiting for you if you'll simply come to Him this morning. Come to Jesus today. Listen, you can't save yourself. You can't be bad enough that Jesus won't save you, and you can't live good enough where you don't need Him to save you. Only Jesus has the power to save, and He will save you if you'll just come to Him today. Don't live another day under the guilt and the burden of sin. Surrender your life to Jesus and let Him set you free. Let Him remove that heavy burden this morning, because Jesus loves you. He loves you more than you could even love yourself. Jesus said, you're to die for. I love you with all of my heart, with all of my life, with every fiber of my being. Jesus loves you. Will you receive His love? Will you receive His mercy? Will you receive His forgiveness this morning? Come on, church, pray. I feel the Holy Spirit talking to somebody today. I feel the presence of God so strong in this place this morning. God is wanting to change somebody's life for all of eternity in this moment right now. God wants to set you free. Jesus is standing with loving arms ready to receive you. All you have to do is say, yes, Jesus, I'll come to you this morning. Just the way I am. Thank you, Lord. I want to lead us in a simple prayer this morning. If you will just repeat this prayer after me, let's all repeat it out loud. Dear Jesus, I say yes to you. Jesus, I come to you now, just the way that I am. Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash my sins away. Make me clean. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I'll live for you. starting right now and for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Stand to your feet this morning really quickly today.